Welcome to the Construction Pals Podcast, brought to you by Blue Tape, your source for the latest in the construction world. Hard hats off, headphones on, and let's get started.
And I'm your host, Rick Butler from Blue Tape. In today's episode, we're talking with Andy Pace, an expert in designing and building healthy green homes who has recently taken on a new role with the Change the Air Foundation. Welcome back, Andy.
Hey, Rick. Great to be here again.
I appreciate it, man. Well, I want to start with just a little review, as the folks remember, and Elizabeth will have this like in the show notes to refer back to the previous podcast you were on. And again, thank you for coming back. But, you know, just as a little review and a little reminder, tell us a little bit more about yourself, your history, and, you know, just things that are going on with the Healthy Building Supply Company.
Yes, sir. So I started in this industry in the construction business in 1989. Started in architecture, commercial construction, architectural sales and specification writing. Got involved in the healthy home space because of what I found on job sites where people are actually getting sick from the materials that were used in traditional construction, and just had that sort of aha moment early in my career that, you know, there's got to be a healthy way to do this. And so I was able to search around the country and find manufacturers that could actually make what I call common sense healthy building materials. This was in 1993. I launched a new company called Green Design Center, where we furnish, specify, we help customers with these materials. This is before the whole green movement really started, the whole green building movement. Matter of fact, the green building movement didn't really start until the late 90s, early 2000s. And when that movement took off, it was all about energy efficiency and global environmental concerns, which of course are important. But I really focused on the health of the human occupant. And today I spend most of my time during the day speaking with people all around the world who are building, remodeling, just trying to live in a healthier home. And I am their architectural consultant to make sure it's done the proper way.
What about, give me an example of some common everyday that we may not like, wow, that surprises me, of one of those materials that we just didn't know then, and it's making people sick on the regular.
So two examples I'll give for this. One is probably the most obvious, which is carpeting. If somebody asked me, what's the one thing I can do in my house today to make it healthier? I would say, rip out the carpet. I'd rather have you live on plywood subfloors or a concrete deck than live on carpeting. There are a couple of healthier options on the market, but you know, they're very few and far between. And so most people are going with carpeting, even what's called like the eco-friendly and green carpets that are out there. They're designed that way so that they're eco-friendly, not human-friendly. And people who have allergies, asthma, sensitivities of any kind, carpeting can really be problematic. Now, the other example would be wood. We build all our homes with wood in North America. Why? Because we have a lot of wood in North America. And so this is the way we do it. But wood is not only a food source for mold, but mold is prevalent. Mold's everywhere. And usually wood that comes to the job site is going to have mold spores on it. And so one of the easiest things you can do during construction is to make sure that you're checking for the moisture content of the wood during the process so you don't end up covering up the studs with drywall and insulation and siding and all this stuff before it has a chance to actually dry out. And so that it alleviates that problem with moisture stuck in the walls, which can lead to a mold problem down the road.
Now that leads me to this question. I represent through Blue Tape some flooring suppliers, and they have a significant amount of carpet that they're supplying to their business customers, contractors, installers, developers. Is there, besides hardwood floor, is there something that these suppliers can look to as a healthy alternative to the carpet that, you know, that they're already offering?
For sure. And I'll say this, when it comes to the difference between like residential carpeting and commercial carpeting, most commercial carpets are a lot safer than residential carpets, and it's because of the way they're manufactured. They use rigid backs a solid back as opposed to this really flexible waffle back that has to be put over a pad. And so in most cases, the commercial carpets are actually healthier, but we don't use commercial carpets in homes. So I also will advocate for hard surfaces, hardwood floors, engineered wood floors, natural linoleum, natural cork has been one of our biggest flooring materials in the last few years. Cork is making a comeback. It was used a long time, 100 years ago. Cork was very, very popular. It's making a comeback, especially with manufacturers like Amarim out of Portugal. They've developed a way to make a floating cork floor that is 100% natural material. There's no synthetic additives whatsoever. And so people who are not only trying to make a healthier space, but also trying to just remove plastics from their life, they have a new product called BioNatural Flooring, which is, it's just an amazing material, very comfortable, very quiet, very easy to install.
Perfect. Yeah. So there are solutions there that they can carry other lines. That's excellent. Yes. So let's go through a day in the life. Let's take a recent home building project that you've been called in to consult on.
Oh, boy.
I'm the developer, the contractor. I've called you in, Andy. And tell me how it differs from a typical non-green building project.
Well, the first thing I would do is congratulate you and thank you for actually, you know, allowing an outside consultant to add a little assistance. All too often, I think we all get stuck in our own, you know, our own pride, and we don't think that we need outside help. But realistically speaking, it's really nice to have somebody else like myself to bounce ideas off of. I think there's a lot of things that I talk about in my day to day with contractors and developers that they already know. It sometimes helps to have somebody else kind of reaffirm these issues. So first is a thank you. Second thing is, I'm going to let you know that I'm not here to make your life difficult. I'm not here to step on your toes. I'm actually here to make things work easier and be a liaison between you and the end customer. Because we all know that contractors and homeowners don't speak the same language. You know, we all might speak English, but the vernacular is way different. And homeowners and contractors both get frustrated when they're trying to work with each other, when they're trying to relay information. So a homeowner says, I want to build this house because I've got a 7-year-old at home that has autism and he cannot be around any materials that are off-gassing. Sometimes a contractor just hears, oh boy, I've got a customer now who says, I can't use any chemicals in this house. You know, everything's made from chemical, so I can't avoid chemical. They're not really hearing the point. The point is we're trying to avoid chemical off-gassing specifically of certain materials. And so I act as that liaison. So I can hear what the customer is saying, what the homeowner is saying, and then relay it to you in a way that makes sense from a building standpoint. And so trying to make things easier from a communication standpoint. So it, you know, building a home or building a space is stressful enough as it is. Just in everyday construction, you throw into the mix that somebody has health issues they're dealing with, and they're really trying to do the best they can for their family. It raises the stress level and anxiety exponentially. And so we just try to bring this down to, first of all, making good common sense with our decisions and making sure that everybody understands what we're talking about. Then it's going to be, on my standpoint, I'm finding out from the homeowner, what are the health issues we're dealing with? Is it somebody who suffers from chronic inflammatory response because they had a previous mold issue? Is it somebody that has severe chemical sensitivity because they had Lyme's disease as a kid and it's still in their body? We go through all of these questions to find out exactly what we're dealing with. And now when I'm making recommendations back to you, the developer builder, I can make those recommendations that make the most sense for the client.
Excellent. Let's take it one step back. Let's go back to my flooring supply guy that I'm working with Blue Tape. I'm working with a lumber yard through Blue Tape. I'm working with various other suppliers. So contractor calls his vendor, the lumber yard, the flooring company, et cetera. Do you work directly also as a liaison to the supplier and say, you know, carry this type of supplies that are more, you know, friendly to what you're doing there with the healthy green, you know, homes?
I can, yes, and I have. Matter of fact, back in the long time ago, late 2000s, I actually worked with a number of Ace Hardware, True Value stores, and some independents, helping them create their sort of their healthy home offerings. And because it's not just a matter of bringing a few products, you're good to go. It's understanding when and where to recommend these types of materials. So there's some training involved. Again, not trying to tell anybody how to do their job, but giving them some healthier options. So yes, I can do that. You know, most often I am working for the homeowner and they're getting me involved, but it's becoming more of a thing for the builder developer to actually hire me and say, I want to make sure not only this project goes well, but I have future projects that I know of that clients are going to be asking about this. I'm doing this right now with a project in Ohio, very large home going up, and the builder is learning an awful lot that they're going to be able to pass along to their next clients.
Perfect. So the impetus for coming in here on round two is Change the Air Foundation. Tell us about that.
So years ago, I got involved with the United States Green Building Council. I was on their board of directors here in Wisconsin for many years. And actually, that got me into other sort of nonprofit or trade associations around the area. And while it's always satisfying to give of your time and resources to wonderful endeavors like that, it got a little frustrating because in this industry, it seems like most of the trade associations will only take these issues so far. And what I mean by that is, I can talk to a builder's association or a remodeler's association about things like mold in homes, but they only go so far because they don't want to alienate their current members. They don't want to take it too far to now start accusing not individuals, but their practices as reasons why we're running into this problem. Change the Air Foundation is a an organization that was started about a year and a half ago by Kendra Seymour and Michael Rubino. Kendra is, honestly, I mean, it's just an amazing story. She is a mother, a wife. They bought a home. They thought it was a safe home. You know, they thought it was, actually didn't even realize, you know, what safe or unsafe really meant to them. But they bought what they thought was their dream home. And in just a matter of months, kids start developing some serious health issues. And it turns out that essentially it's a home that was spruced up, repainted to put it on the market to look nice, but hiding a lot of problems in the home. And after a lot of research and just a lot of aggravation, she decided that she needed to do something about it. And she hooked up with a mold professional named Michael Rubino. And the two of them created a foundation specifically to educate the public about the health dangers of specifically mold, but all types of indoor air quality issues. Matter of fact, there's one of the key people involved in the organization, Brandon Chapo. He's actually doing working with legislative bodies around the country in various cities and states to help push this at the legislative level to push the concept of testing and remediation and, you know, what to look for, how do we avoid this? And there's no other organization that I know of that has this type of commitment to our indoor air quality, You know, specifically, it started about mold, but it's now turned into all sorts of indoor air quality issues. And I wanted to be a part of it. Michael Rubino actually reached out about a year ago to ask me to be on a summit that he was producing for the organization. And after doing that, it just dawned on me that I needed to do this myself. I've been in this business now for 30 plus years. I have a lot I can offer to a foundation, I hope, and help guide the foundation forward. And I'm really happy just to be part of such an amazing group of people that this is a really, you know, to the heart thing for them. It's not, they're not doing this because it's, you know, timely and it's good PR and marketing. They're doing this because it's the right thing to do.
That's a passion, sounds like. I mean, it just comes through when you're saying it. So let's talk about the foundation's goals and specifically the goals and what that would mean for the builders in the future. So I've been in the building business, contractor, builder, developer for the last 30 years. And, you know, the old standby, that's the way we've always done it. Most hated phrase I've ever heard in life. I'm that builder, been in it for 30 years. I'm kind of set my ways. And so if the foundation's goals are met, what type of first round, just right, you know, immediate type of changes might I see in the future?
Yep. So first off, it's education. That's at the top of our list. What we want to do is educate the general public about, about the information available for mold inspection, mold remediation, and then of course leading to other indoor air quality issues. We are providing scholarships for those who are in the space of inspection and remediation. Other educational materials. Matter of fact, launched a really great podcast recently, and YouTube videos. Again, out there, just free to the public. We want people to learn about this to sort of raise awareness. Then it becomes public policy. And so this is where we're trying to make changes at the state and local levels, educating governmental leaders about the dangers of water damage and other indoor air pollutants, advocating for updated laws, updated building codes. And this is something that we're starting to push now for as well, is in making these building codes so that they are making sense with the updated technology of materials. I think that's one thing that codes lag far behind what's actually being done at the technology level with buildings. And buildings are using new materials, new methods, new systems, and the codes are lagging far behind. And we want to bring those up to date so that we are all using the most recent information when we're making our decisions. And then research, actually providing research papers through doctors, physicians, on what the damaging effects of mold and other indoor air quality pollutants have on the body. So we're kind of tying it together that, you know, we're showing that here's what's happening with people living in these homes. Here's why we're building these homes this way, because as you said, that's the way we've always done it. And maybe there either isn't a code for the area where you're building, or if there is, nobody cares. And then at the governmental level, maybe it's time that we actually start writing some laws that will help renters, home buyers, and others who are subject to the problems that we're dealing with because of these poor materials and poor building practices.
Understood. A question that you wish I'd asked related to this that I may have missed, or you go, I wish he'd go there. Something that I may have missed that you want to communicate.
Well, something you may have missed. How can I get involved with Change the Air Foundation?
Great question.
Because
how can I get involved?
Thank you. First of all, you can go to changetheairfoundation.org. And on the top right is a big, big old button that says donate. Right now, the organization is being funded through those of us who have been involved in it for a while, as well as a number of people around the country now who say, this is, we need this in our area. I can see the benefit of this. We have some amazing sponsors that are helping us fund some of these research papers and some of the legislative work that Brandon's been doing. But we need more. We need a lot more, because we're up against the industry. You know, essentially what we're trying to do is change the way we build, change the way we renovate, change the way we live in our homes. And, you know, everybody else is kind of against us because of what you said earlier, which is that's the way we've always done it. And we're trying to change that. And the only way that can be done is, you know, with a charitable donation. And so please go to the website and please donate, even if it's, you know, $10 or $20 a month or something like that. We'll take it. We need it.
Thank you. Some general things here, just in closing, Andy. Best advice, and you can relate it, you know, to the foundation, to your business, or to your own personal life. Best advice you've received.
Boy, best advice is reach deep down inside and find that common sense that you do have, that you do possess, but sometimes we just let it stay in the back pocket. I can't tell you how often people will go through, let's say, a home. They're walking through a home that they're going to buy, and they're not in the moment. They're not using common sense. They're looking at the home saying, well, I can put my sofa over here and I can paint this wall blue, but they're not actually, you know, thinking of things like, what is that smell? What am I sensing? Why do they just repaint the ceiling, but only in this corner? So use your brain, use that common sense that just sometimes is not as common as we'd like, but it's there. We know we have it, but you have to access it. So I would say do that. And honestly, using that gut feeling will get you pretty far, especially when you're buying something existing. And then beyond, understand that as humans, we spend about 90% of our lives indoors. 90% of our life is within a built environment. That space, wherever you're in, has got to be a safer space than probably what it is right now. And then to that, your bedroom has got to be the safest of the safe. That's got to be the sanctuary, because we're stuck in that room for 6 to 8 hours a night, hopefully, getting that restorative sleep. We want to make sure that the air we're breathing is healthy, clean, and we're not absorbing pollutants from the carpeting, the bedding, the mattresses, the walls, you name it.
Excellent. Worst advice.
Worst advice I can give somebody?
That you've received, actually, that somebody's tried to impart with you and to you, and you go, you either figured it out immediately to say no, or you took it and wished you hadn't.
Boy, I've received a lot of bad advice in my career. And, you know, so that's how we learn, right? Especially if it sounds good. A lot of the things that I've heard over the years would be, just put an air purifier in your house and you'll be fine. Just buy this air purifier. Everything will be fine. Air purifier in a house is like a Band-Aid on a wound. It covers up the problem for a period of time, but eventually that wound is still going to be there. So don't ever feel like anything is a real quick fix. It might be an easy fix, but it might not be quick. And also, there is no such thing as a perfect product or a perfect project, no matter what the builder may say, no matter what the supplier may say. There's always going to be downsides for every upside. So don't get caught up in the hype of you know, reading something online and saying that you're doing your research, and it's actually just a bunch of Google searches, and you're coming up with manufacturers that say that their stuff is the best. Don't believe the hype. You know, do a little more research, ask a few more questions.
A good word I caught there is anything that begins with just ... may be the thing you really need to dig into. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, hey, in closing, and again, I'm sure Elizabeth will have contact information. How can the folks, either through social media, email, whatever you want to give and divulge, for folks to get in touch with you?
Great. Thank you. So the best way to get in touch with me is actually through my main website, thegreendesigncenter.com. From that, you'll see thousands of products that I've curated over the years to be, you know, the safest of the safe. I also have access to all of my consulting, my own podcast, YouTube shows, all of that, where I do give away a lot of this information right online. And then the other is Change the Air Foundation, changetheairfoundation.org. That is something that I am passionate about, as you can tell. And I hope that your listeners will also be passionate about once they see what all the good it can do.
Well, Andy, it's been a pleasure. Come back for the third iteration as you grow this thing and give us success stories, man. Continued.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it, Rick.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to subscribe for more episodes like this. For more information on Construction Pals podcast and Blue Tape, please visit bluetape.com.